Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful that you bring to completion the good works that you have begun in us. And so now, through your word and by your spirit, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would do a work in us whereby we are made more like Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, tonight I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians. We're going to look at the first six verses of chapter 1. And I just kind of want to examine that story in the light of the knowledge that God finishes what he has started in us. The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote the letter to the church at Philippi, and he wrote it from prison. He was imprisoned in Rome under house arrest, most likely chained 18 inches away from a member of the Roman Imperial Guard. And so the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church at Philippi in response to a financial gift that they had sent to him to support his ministry, and he was thankful for that. But I want you to think about the fact that Paul's writing this letter from jail, imprisoned in a house, chained to a Roman soldier. The Roman soldiers would work in shifts, and so they would change. And what's amazing is that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi in that condition, and it is probably the most joyous book in the entire Bible. It is so filled with the joy of the Lord. It's the book where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Well, he meant what he was saying because he was living what he was saying. This is Paul who would write to Timothy in his final letter to him, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4 would say, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul was confident that God would finish the good work he had begun in him. And Paul's sharing that confidence with you and me, that if you're in Jesus Christ, God is going to finish the good work that he has begun in you. And so as we look at Philippians chapter 1 tonight, I want to give you this theme: God finishes. God finishes. The last words Jesus spoke before his death on the cross were, "It is finished." And the Bible says that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus had completed the work required for our salvation. And I want you to know that just as he completed the work required for our salvation on the cross, he will bring to completion the good things that he has begun in you. So look with me at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this: "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." So here's my question. As Paul's writing this, what is he thinking back through? He first went to Philippi during the second missionary journey when God opened the door for him to go into Europe and there to go into Macedonia. But here's the thing. The way that God opened the door for him to take the message of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ into Europe and into Philippi was that God said no in some pretty tough ways. At the outset of the second missionary journey, do you remember that Paul and his traveling companion from the first missionary journey, Barnabas, had such a sharp disagreement that they parted ways? This was Barnabas who had come and advocated for Paul right after his salvation. Barnabas was the one who got Paul a hearing with the apostles. Barnabas, whose name is a nickname. He's really Joseph, but he's called Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. Well, Paul and Barnabas disagreed about a young man named John Mark who had left them on the first missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them on the second missionary journey, and Paul said no. And they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted ways. They went in two separate directions. And then Paul, as he was traveling to carry the gospel, met a young man named Timothy, a young man who came from a difficult home situation. His mother loved the Lord, his grandmother loved the Lord, but his father, well, he didn't. But God's hand was on Timothy, and Paul recognized that. And so as they came through and revisited some of the places they had been on the first missionary journey, God raised up Timothy, and Timothy came with them. And Paul wanted to go into Asia and Bithynia, but God said no. Why in the world would God say no to taking the gospel to these regions that were in such great need, as the whole rest of the world is, that were in such great need of the message of Jesus Christ? Well, I've found in life that when God says no to one thing, that means he is trying to redirect us to where he wants us to go. And some of the greatest gifts in our lives are those moments when God says no. You know, Garth Brooks says some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I would change that just a little bit. Some of God's greatest gifts are moments when he says no, as hard as those moments can be, and as difficult as those moments can be. I have found and continue to find that on the other side of God's no is a greater reality than I would have found had God said yes. Well, God had said no to Paul, and instead of going into Asia and Bithynia, they went to Troas, and then God sent this vision of this Macedonian man come to us. And so they went, and they went up into Europe. The gospel broke into Europe. And I can only imagine that Paul was remembering that they had to change their technique in Europe, because as they went into Philippi, which was this Roman colony, they called it kind of a little Rome, there wasn't a synagogue. And the way that Paul did ministry was he always went to the synagogue. Well, there wasn't a synagogue. And so instead of going into a synagogue, they had to change their methodology. And they went down by the river. There were a group of people there praying, and they met Lydia, this woman who dealt in purple. And she was a God-fearer. I mean, she didn't know the Lord yet, but she was searching for the Lord. She was seeking after the Lord. And they met Lydia, and Lydia heard the gospel, and she got saved, and she got baptized. And then they shared the gospel with her whole household, and they got saved, and they got baptized. And God did a mighty work there in Philippi. But the city got stirred up, as it often does when God works, and Paul was imprisoned. And God did a miraculous thing in breaking loose their shackles and setting them free. And remember the Philippian jailer who thought, oh no, they're all gone, and was this close to taking his life. And Paul said, no, 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 don't do it. We're still here. The doors are open, the chains are off, but we didn't go anywhere. Why? Because Jesus Christ has set us free, and we are free indeed. We're not worried about you. And the Philippian jailer looks at them and says, brothers, what must I do to be saved? In other words, I need whatever it is you have. Paul saw God move in amazing ways in Philippi. So now as he is writing back to this church at Philippi, a church that met in Lydia's house, a church that was established through great difficulty, but established by the hand of God, he was so thankful for them so he could rejoice. And this is what he said to them in Philippians 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. The theme that I want to give you in this service is this: God finishes what he has started. How could Paul rejoice in the face of all the adversity that he had faced, and in the face of all the adversity that he was currently facing? How could he rejoice? Because he knew that God finishes what he started. And so even though he was facing difficulty in this moment, he knew that God would see him through all the way to the end, all the way to glory, all the way to the day of Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? As you trust and follow Jesus, I don't know where you are. You may be navigating difficult days right now. You may have just had an experience in which God said no to a dream that you had. Can I tell you that throughout every moment of your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not that every moment is good. But Romans 8:28 says, our God is able to make all the moments work together for good to us because we love God and we are called according to His purposes. So I want to encourage you, stay the course. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep running with perseverance the race marked out for you. God will bring to completion the good work that He has begun in you. And one day in glory, you will see the hand of God so clearly revealed throughout each moment of your life, and you'll be glad. I will too. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful that you finish what you start. And we're so thankful, Lord, that your hand is on us, and we're so thankful, Lord, that you see us through. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we pray that you would help us to know in each moment there is a greater reality to which you are leading us, and you will see us through all the way safely home to you. And we are so thankful. And so, Lord, we come to close this Wednesday night worship service the way we always do. In preparation for the rest of the week, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray again that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight. And we hope you'll join us again this Friday at 6:30 for Friday night virtual vespers as we together once again survey the wondrous cross. God bless you.